My name is Kevin Shepherd. I'm a high school teacher over at Grand Valley High School in Parachute, Colorado. I teach AP US History, and for a project, several of my students will be interviewing veterans dating all the way back to World War II. We are working with veterans at the Community Living Center in Rifle, Colorado with Jeff Landstrom.
My name is Jeff Landstrom, and I'm the marketing director at the Veterans Community Living Center in Rifle. And just a little bit about our building. We're a 24/7 skilled nursing facility that caters specifically to veterans, their spouses, widows, and Gold Star parents. While we're one of five similarly purposed facilities in the state of Colorado, we're actually the only one on the Western Slope. And from the moment that Mr. Shepherd and I began talking about this project, I was immediately excited and ready to get it done, because this building really just contains a wealth of knowledge for anyone interested in learning about critical and pivotal times in our nation's history.
Hello, my name is Joe Montoya, and I'm here with Lloyd Eugene Johnston, a Korean War veteran. Thank you, first of all, for letting me ask you these questions and for serving for our country. So, my first question would be, growing up as a young child during this time, did you ever dream of serving?
I grew up during the Second World War, and I was always around a group of military people. They were on their way for a battle, or whatever the case was. This was the Second World War, and that was my... Yeah, I wanted to be a Marine. So that's what I did. But I had to get my parents to sign for me, my grandparents, so it was a lot of extra trouble. Got in with a lot of guys who had done a lot of time in combat. It was different. But when you're in a situation like that, you do what you gotta do to stay alive. That covers a big field, I realize, but that's pretty well where it's at.
Okay, so you said that you did almost basically like everything possible to join, correct? So did you join during the beginning of the war, or did you join later on?
Since it started.
So as you may know, a lot of conflict was already previously going on in North and South Korea. And as a young soldier, 17 years old, you said, you're going to fight with the South Koreans and the UN. So basically, you have a lot of people on your side. How did you try to prepare, you know, mentally about, like, going into them and fighting?
You just do it. That's how you prepare. I know that sounds a little crude, but that's how it's done. If I told you anything different, I don't think I'd be giving you the true, honest answer. You're thrown into a situation, regardless of why. That doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, you're a combat. And you do what you got to do. Does that give you some idea what...
Yeah.
I'm talking about, and your imagination is as good as mine. But it's different, totally different world. And that's why you have all these post-traumatic stress syndromes and stuff like that. People aren't used to being like that.
So, when we look back at the war now, we think of, like, the reconquest of South Korea to be, like, kind of rapid, and it could have ended there, but General MacArthur gave the orders to cross the 38th parallel and go all the way north. So after so much fighting that you've done already, you told me you had this just-do-it mentality. So did that keep you motivated to continue the pursuit even after you had fought for a long time?
It kept me alive. That covers a broad spectrum, but that's exactly what it did. It kept me alive.
Sir. So the United States and the communists in North Korea were in peace talks for a while throughout all these fightings. out in the trenches and in the camps, were there sort of like murmurs about it, sort of rumors that would it, if it would ever get done?
There was rumors about everything. Everything was a rumor. We called it scuttlebutt. And, you know, a lot of people make it up, even if it wasn't true, just to keep things interesting. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it works even in today's society as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Very little changed, except nowadays you get paid for being a combat person compared to what you did in my day. And that makes it okay as far as I'm concerned. That's better than it was before. We were losing too many people. They just weren't experienced. But now they are. Or they're better than they were by far. So if you go in the military now, you know what you're up against. So you're damn well ready to go and get the money for it. You know, a decent.
Okay, so this war lasted a little bit over 3 years. So coming back home, what was it like adjusting to life after all the war?
When I was training, we used to go up to, on occasion, this was up in Vegas, in that vicinity, and they had a, that's where they did the atomic tests, and we'd go up there and be exposed to that, get in the trenches, and you could just feel this generation of whatever atomic power when they were ignited come right up through the ground. It was quite an experience. So I had a little idea of what it was like to be around some atomic action. And of course, we always got liberty after that. That's why I went. And that was way back. There's pros and cons. Some people thought it was the wrong thing to do. Some thought it was the right thing to do. You were kind of a guinea pig, you might say.
So considering everything that happened during that war, you experienced it firsthand. I saw you were watching the news just now. Do you think that what happened back then still affects the relations between the United States and North Korea?
Yeah. I think so. It's a different ball game now. You got, you know, you look at the map. And I got one, well, right up here. But look at the location. Can you see it? Mm-hmm. Look where Japan is, China, North and South Korea. It's a pretty hot location. But it's hot all over, too.
So one thing that was mentioned to me by Mr. Landstrom, or Jeff, he told me that you had been fighting alongside some people who served in the World War II war as well. So do you think that kind of gave you a little bit of, you know, confidence that you guys could pull this off, at knowing the experience?
No, I wouldn't say it gave me confidence. If anything, no. They weren't qualified to give me anything. They had done their time. They were all burned out. Most of them were alcoholics. And they didn't want to be called back in, but remember, they were drafted back in.
Yes.
So I would, to that, no. Well, they knew what it was like. They knew what their pay was. They knew what their odds were. And probably it was frightening to have to go through that again. Anybody that has to experience it, good luck to them, and I'm hoping. The thing about North and South Korea, that at one time I looked at some of these pictures, I can't believe it, compared to what it is now. And they were related. Some were for the war, some were against the war, some didn't give a damn, you know, if they could have their families with them and stuff like that. But they suffered a lot. They really did.
I don't have any more questions for you, so thank you for your time.
Okay, you're more than welcome, and I hope I did you some justice. I'm still here.
Thanks for listening today. We're just so thankful for organizations like KDNK and educators like Mr. Shepherd, who are in the business of empowering youth education and are motivated enough to make these types of hands-on learning experiences happen in communities across the Western Slope.
This has been a collaboration between the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, Grand Valley High School, and KDNK.